So we are going to begin to move through our acronym of RESTORED, and we're going to talk about relationships tonight. And I think I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12 with me. And this is, again, one of these familiar scriptures. We're not going to look at any scriptures this week that you don't already know. It's not like there's some hidden aspect of the Bible you hadn't read. But I really want us to think about what's really being said in this passage tonight. So Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. And I think this is interesting. Now, there's other accounts, but I like Mark's account because of the information that it brings us. Verse 28 says this, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" In Matthew's account, it talks about they were trying him and testing him with the question. But this time, this guy is interesting because he's listening. He's listening in on the conversation that had previously been going on, and he perceived that Jesus answered them well. I like this because he recognizes something special here, and he asked Jesus a very important question, which is the first commandment of all. Now, that word first, guys, he's not asking Jesus which was the first commandment given. He's not asking the question of which was the first one listed in chronological order. That's not the question. The question, if you look at that word first, it can mean several different things. But I think what he's really asking here when you look at the definition is, what is it that is the most important thing? That's really the question he's asking. Jesus, you've answered these guys well. Let me ask you, what is the most important commandment? If there's one thing, if you could just sum it up with one, if there's one thing I need to base my life on, what is it? What is the first, the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, verse 29, he said, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, you know the scripture, and you would want to start to jump ahead and start quoting. But Jesus preceded this with something. This is, out of the Old Testament, the most important scripture to the Jews that there is. This is where they get the sacred name of Israel. And he's saying, look, this is Deuteronomy 6:4 that he's quoting. There is but one God. The Lord our God is one. And then, verse 30, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Underline those words. Jesus himself is saying, guys, there's no other commandment greater than these. That's pretty profound. That's pretty significant when you have Jesus, who is the Word, who is the second member of the Godhead, making this statement. There's no other commandment greater than these. That ought to be an exclamation point. We ought to put a star by that. We ought to highlight this. This should be a very foundational part of our understanding of what the Christian life is all about. But has it been? And honestly, for me, it wasn't. I knew that this was the greatest commandment. We even have that title. We got the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We know the Great Commission and we know the Great Commandment. But do we really understand that Jesus is saying, look, this is the greatest commandment. There's none other commandment greater than this. I'm trying to emphasize the importance and the significance. Am I doing a good enough job? Jesus is saying, this is something that needs to be a foundational, fundamental part of your understanding. There's nothing greater than these two commandments. And these two commandments really hinge on three relationships. Now, Paul even carries this further in the New Testament and says that the whole law can be summed up in one word, love. So we're talking about love. Now, how many of you know that God loves you? Come on, there's nobody in the room, right? We all know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, right? We know that God loves us, and if we're honest, we know that he has to because he's God. I mean, really, God really doesn't have a choice. He's got to love me, right? He's God. That's who he is. He is love. That's his nature. That's his character. I know God loves me. But does God like you? My wife tells me all the time she loves me. And I tell her, I said, baby, I don't, there's no doubt in my mind. You love me. I know you love me. Sure, you love me. But if I'm honest with you, I think you're a fool because you do. Now, don't you? You can laugh if you want to. I'm just being honest. Because the truth is, and it took me 15 years to be able to communicate that clearly with her in order that we could build our relationship to another level. It took me 15 years to get there to be able to say truthfully, honestly, I know you love me, but I think you're a fool because you do. Because if you really knew me, if you knew what was going on inside of me, if you knew my thoughts, if you knew my feelings, if you knew all that was going on in me, you'd run the other direction, girl. You're an idiot for hanging out with me. That's what I think. That's what I feel. So when I talk about relationship, when I talk about love, we know God loves us. We know that, but I want to get past just this intellectual understanding of God loves me. This I know. Sure he does. But God likes you. God doesn't just love you. God likes you. He likes you to the point that he's willing to pursue you in relationship. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3 later on in the week in some aspects, but I want to go ahead and go there now because it's coming to me. You remember when Adam and Eve are out hiding in the bushes after eating the fruit? You remember that story? Who is looking for who? Was God looking for them or them looking for God? God's looking for them. Guys, I got you. You got to get this. God is not mad at you. God is not so upset with you because of the stupid stuff that you've done in life that he's running in the other direction. He's still looking for relationship. He's still out there looking for you. He loves you. He's past love. He is absolutely overwhelmed with you. He's pursuing relationship with you. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you have gotten into that's too much for God. God desires intimacy and relationship with you. He loves you. This is the most important commandment, that you have relationship with God, that you love him and be receiving his love. We've got to start here. Because I can go on and tell you, I already told you this morning, but I'll tell you again, if I don't start here, if I don't come through Jesus Christ to the Father in relationship, because the Bible does say that no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him, right? So the Spirit of God is at work drawing me to the Father. But the Son said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So we've got the Spirit of God calling us. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Spirit of God is calling. He's speaking to every man in this room, every woman in this room. He's there by his divine influence. He's speaking, he's calling, he's wooing because he loves us. And he wants to have relationship with us at a level that will blow your mind. Amen. That's what he wants. And we can only get there through Jesus. You must be born again. Can I say that? You must be born again. You've got to begin this conversation, this relationship with the Father through Jesus. But guys, so many of us get saved. And I recommend it. I highly recommend getting saved. But we get saved and we come to Jesus and it's kind of like we stop there. Our relationship with God stops with our relationship with Jesus. But don't you know that there's three members of the Godhead? That Jesus himself said, I come to show you who? The Father. Jesus came to bring us into relationship with his Father, with our Father. So let's not camp out at the door of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you for salvation. Yes. But what are we saved to? I know what I'm saved from. What am I saved to? I'm saved to relationship with the entire Godhead, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can't stop with Jesus. We've got to press on into relationship with our Heavenly Father. That brings me to a whole topic that I need another hour to talk about. But do you know that the Father in heaven is a good guy? Do you know that? I mean, really, when you think about the Father, what do you think of? When you have an image in your mind of the Father, I know no man's seen him and all that, but you got to, you know, you think of something. What do you think of? Is he this old, white-haired, long-beard guy sitting on the throne with a stick waiting to whack you over the head when you mess up? I got some no's. I hope not, because that's not who your Father is. Now, that may be the image that many of us carry. Honestly, it was the image that I carried. That was who I thought, I was all right with Jesus. Me and Jesus was buddy-buddy, but I was scared to death of Daddy. I was scared to death of Father God because I felt like I could never measure up. I knew that no matter how good I got it, it was not good enough because he's perfect. And I'm supposed to be perfect, and I can't be. I mean, the Bible says it, doesn't it? Be you perfect, therefore as I am perfect. Well, that's a setup for a failure. I mean, I'm not perfect. Anybody in this room perfect? So I know what it's like to have a father who doesn't do perfect. I know what it's like to have a father who doesn't do well when I don't measure up to the standard of expectation that he has for me. I know that image well. And many of us know that image. Many of us carry with us the failures of our earthly father to show the love and the heart and the character and the nature of God correctly, and therefore our Father God is now guilty by association. When we think of God, we know somehow inwardly, we just know that we're not measuring up, that we're not good enough, that we can't ever really get there, and somehow he's not pleased, he's not happy, he is not really smiling at me. Does he love me? Sure he does. He's got to. He's God. But there's always a but, isn't there? I know God loves me, but. I know God loves me, but I'm pretty sure he's not happy with me. I know he loves me, but he doesn't really want to see me right now. I know he loves me, but he doesn't really want to hear what I have to say. I know he loves me, but he's not into intimacy right now. Are you following me? Now, I said all that to say this. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to get into the enemy, but I got to go ahead and introduce it here, because if the most important commandment, if there's nothing greater than this understanding of relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if that is the most important component of our relationship, doesn't it make sense to you that if you had an enemy, that enemy would do everything he could to bring about breakdown in that relationship? I mean, doesn't that make sense? If I was the enemy, and I understood that the greatest commandment, the greatest understanding that there is on the planet for relationship with God is to love him with all that I've got, I would do everything I could to make sure that you never connected with him. And guys, that's exactly what your enemy's doing. It's him. He's the one feeding us all these lies, all these ideas and thoughts and feelings of never measuring up, never being good enough, constantly accusing our Father to us. Doesn't the Bible say that's what he is? That he is the accuser of our brethren. Night and day, day and night, he is before God accusing us to God and accusing God to us, accusing us to each other. He's constantly at work with a spirit of accusation. What is accusation? What is accusation? A spirit of accusation really does this. It seeks to give you a conclusion about someone that's not true. That's pretty much it. Is at work to bring you to a conclusion that's not true. If you conclude that because of who you are, how you've acted, the way you've lived your life, that God can never really be pleased with you, what kind of relationship are you going to have with him? I mean, just there's not going to be much one, is there? I may continue to pursue it because I know I've got to, because I don't want to go to hell. And I know that hell's not where I want to go, but the whole while I'm caught in this quagmire, this conflict, this confusion of trying to have relationship with someone that I am convinced I can't have relationship with. Am I talking anybody's journey here? Don't you understand, guys, that there is an enemy at work? I'm gonna get in that tomorrow, but right now I want you to start with this component. The most important relationship you can have is your relationship with God. Amen. That has to be a foundational piece of how you live life. It has become for me a filter. Anything that happens in life flows through this filter of relationship. whatever happens, whatever comes, whatever goes on, I automatically now, through process of just doing this, I automatically stop and think, wait a minute. How is the enemy trying to bring breakdown in relationship? Is this somehow bringing a relationship breakdown between me and God? Is this bringing a relationship breakdown between me and myself? Or is this bringing a relationship breakdown between me and someone else? Because I got to tell you, Jesus was not just talking when he said this is the greatest commandment. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that you and I have to deal with in life flows through these three components of relationship. They do. Relationship with God, relationship with yourself, and relationship with someone else. Once we get things kind of moving with God, guess what happens? Now I'm able to begin to understand how God thinks. Would you acknowledge with me that it's pretty much important that we learn to think like God? There's a statement from the ministry that I'm going to steal because I love it. And here it is. I love this little statement. They're just little one-liners that have meant so much to me in the years that I've been there. Here it is. You ready? You may want to take this down. It's important. It's powerful. Simple, but powerful. Any way of thinking, speaking, and acting that don't match how God thinks, speaks, and acts is a form of insanity. Did you get that? Any way of thinking, let's just stop there. Don't worry about speaking and acting yet. We'll get to that later. Any way of thinking that doesn't match how God thinks is a form of insanity. If God says he loves you and you have thoughts and feelings that tell you otherwise, that's insanity. Does that make sense? If God says that you are the apple of his eye, and the Bible says you are, and you have thoughts and feelings that say otherwise, that's insanity. Are you with me? If the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are marvelous as a work of God, and you have thoughts and feelings that tell you otherwise, that is insanity. And who's the source of insanity? The enemy is. We'll get into that tomorrow. But I really want you to understand we've got to begin to see life through the lens of relationship. Guys, when I can begin to enter into a relationship with my Father through Jesus, and I can begin to agree with him, and I can begin to see myself the way he sees me, and I can begin to allow his word that speaks to me to be true, and I don't listen to the lies of the enemy, but I listen to the truth of God's word instead. And I allow God to speak to me from his word. And I believe it and I accept it. Guess what starts to happen? My relationship with him grows and deepens and matures. But the next thing begins to happen. All of a sudden, how I think about myself begins to change. When I read the word of God and I see what he says, rather than what I've heard and felt and experienced all my life, when I begin to believe him, when I let God be true and every man a liar, when I let God be true and everything else that would say anything else be a liar, when I let that happen, all of a sudden I start to think differently about who I am. And as I begin to grow in relationship with myself, as I begin to love myself and appreciate myself and see myself as God sees me as a son, guess what happens? All of a sudden, I can now begin to see you differently. All of a sudden, now I can begin to look past some of the stuff that's in you that's not from heaven. And all of a sudden, I can begin to reach out to you and be a gift to you, and I can serve you, and I can love you in a way that I never could before because I understand your battles just like my battle. Does that make sense? And all of this is encapsulated in this understanding. The great commandment, the most important thing is for me to be in relationship with my Father. If you're not born again, you got to start there. You've got to come through Jesus into relationship with your Father. And you've got to begin to pursue that relationship with Him. You've got to begin to pursue relationship with yourself. Guys, I got to tell you, for most of my life, I didn't like Mitch Griffin. I did not like who I was. I remember saying in my head to myself, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I hate my life. I remember reading Job, and Job would talk about cursed be the day that he was born, and I'd be like, yeah. Yeah. He'd been better off if I would have never been born. That's insanity. That's insanity, guys. Are you with me? That's not who you are. The Father says complete different things about you. So I've got to begin to understand relationship with God, relationship with myself, and relationship with others. That is the foundation of life. Out of those three relationships flow all of the issues of life. If I could sit down and talk with each of you individually about the struggles and the turmoil and the things going on in your life, if you follow with me, I think you're beginning, hopefully, to see that all of them will fall into one of those three categories. Somewhere, there's breakdown in relationship with God. And you aren't agreeing with God and His Word about what He says. And that's causing chaos in your life. Somewhere, there's breakdown in relationship with yourself. There's a breakdown in how you view yourself compared to how God says you are. And then somewhere, there's breakdown in relationship with others. Those three areas of relationship really are all of the issues of life. And here's what's awesome about this understanding. When these three begin to get better, I'm not talking about perfection, because hello, we're not going to get there. But when these three begin to line up, and all of a sudden I'm connecting with God, and I'm growing, and I have a sense of understanding, and a sense of expectancy, and a sense that, yeah, we are connected, and He understands me, and He's drawing me along from glory to glory, I am being changed. All of a sudden, I begin to have that connection with Him, and I feel better about myself, don't I? Now, I'm not perfect. I still have struggles. I still battle with these thoughts and feelings. But deep down within, I know something's changing. I'm not what I used to be. As true, I was born again. The Spirit of God does live in me. And yeah, I can see some light at the end of the tunnel. I can see change. I can see hope. I can see where I can be better than I used to be. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, things start to get a little better. And what happens then in relationship with others? All of a sudden, I'm able to treat people differently. Because I got to tell you, when I don't hate myself, I'm a whole lot nicer person to you. When I don't want to kick myself, I don't kick you as often. And I said that just the way I meant to say it. Because so many times in life, I'm so stirred up on the inside. I'm so angry and so mad at myself that I want to hurt myself, but I don't know how. I mean, I'm not going to kill myself because I can't do that. But, oh, my goodness, all this stuff. So what am I doing? I'm lashing out at my wife, and I'm lashing out at my kids, and I'm kicking the dog, and I'm beating on things in the garage. When I feel better about me, all of a sudden my outside relationships with those around me begin to improve. Does that make sense? So I know I hadn't told you how yet. But I want you to get the concept. We're talking about a principle here. We're going to talk about the application of the principle. But I've got to establish the principle. The principle is this. Every aspect of your life falls into one of these three categories. Relationship with God. Relationship with yourself. And relationship with others. Is that beginning to kind of click for you? Do you see that? I mean, it really is a simple way of viewing life. But it's so simple, and I believe this is why Jesus said, this is it, guys. This is the greatest, the most important, the most significant commandment. Because if I'm not connected and growing in relationship with the God of the universe who created me, who is the giver of life, life's going to be a mess. If I'm not connected with Him, if I'm not learning from him, and I'm not receiving from him, and I'm not beginning to align my thinking with his thinking about who he is, about who I am, and about who you are, life's going to be a mess. Does that make sense? So here, you want to talk about abundant life. It's not what we think it is. It's really not. It's not like just coasting through life, bouncing around. That's not what abundant life is. Abundant life is having these three relationships firing and growing and moving. And yeah, you still have troubles, you still have issues, you still have things that arise in life, but you have a peace and a joy. You have the manifestation of God's nature flowing through you in all of your relationships, and that is abundance. That is awesome. Because I got to tell you, Keith mentioned the fact that we took this leap of faith and I quit my job and I don't have a church and I don't have a job and here I am trying to support a family and three kids with nothing. That has been an opportunity to overcome. I'm saying that very tongue in cheek, but it's true. There's been many opportunities for the enemy to come in and talk to me and talk to my wife and talk to my kids around this situation. But you know what abundant life is? Abundant life is being able to recognize it. Abundant life is being able to understand this is nothing more than attack of the enemy, and I'm not going to allow it. Come here. And we gather up together as a husband and a wife, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and I say, look, right now all that matters is God loves me, I love you, you love me, everything else is going to be all right. Right now, this is the foundation. Right now, this is the greatest commandment. Right now, this is all that matters. Hell and high water can splash all around us, but as long as me and God are all right, and me and you are all right, and me and these kids are all right, and those who I have around me who are my brothers, as long as we're all right, it doesn't matter what happens in life. That's abundance. And guys, I'm telling you, this is how simple it is. Stay connected in relationship with your Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Stay in relationship correctly around how you view yourself. You got to agree with God. We'll talk more about how later. And stay in right relationship with those around you. And here's what the Bible says. As much as is possible, live peaceably. Because truth is, there's some folks you can't live at peace with. And we'll talk about that if we have time. But as long as I've got those around me who love me and love God, and we're walking in the light as he is in the light, and I understand who I am, and I understand my relationship with him, as long as I've got this basic component working, I can move in abundance. Does that make sense? I know I'm just continually reiterating a very simple truth. I told you that's what I was going to do this week. I'm not going to be profound. I'm just bringing very simple concepts to play into your life. But if you will begin to view entirety of life through this lens, this filter of relationship, your life will change. Because I got to tell you, that's where abundance comes from, but it's also where every one of the issues of life comes from. That's what the enemy's doing. If he can come in, he'll bring turmoil in your life. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is he stealing? He's stealing our peace in our relationship with God. He's stealing our joy in our relationship with God. What is he stealing? He's stealing our peace and our joy in our relationship with ourself. He's stealing our peace and our joy in relationship with others. What is he killing? He's killing relationships. He's killing my relationships. There's some people not in this room tonight because their relationship with God feels so hopeless and desperate there is no reason to even come. What is that? That is stealing, killing, and destroying. That's him at work. There's some people in this room tonight who are here because they hope there's hope. But you're struggling with yourself to the point that you don't really know if it's possible, and you want me to tell you something other than a principle. I know that. I know we're getting to it. There is a how. But guys, you've got to begin to understand it's this simple. Are you with me? All right. I did bring my phone, but I left it down there, so I have no idea what time it is. Let me get my clock. So I ain't going to keep you till midnight. We ain't going to pull a Paul, all right? That's my first principle, relationship. Now, again, I could teach till midnight around this. But I want to give you some scriptures because I want to begin to help you see. And let's start with relationship with the Father because it is the most important. Yeah, how I see myself is important, but it comes out of that relationship with the Father. Yeah, how I interact with you is important, but it comes out of the relationship with the Father and how I see myself. So let's start with the Father. I want to just share some scriptures with you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. If you want to just take notes, because I'm going to run through this stuff pretty quick. Let me ask you a question. Who's sitting on the throne? God who? God the Father. So when Hebrews 4 tells me that I am to come boldly to the throne, I understand that who's on that throne is my Father. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, according to Scripture. So I'm to come boldly into the very throne room of God. That's my Father. That's God. That's Daddy. Now, I mean, just be honest with me. Can we be honest? How many of you have ever really approached God the Father throne room boldly? Have you ever really done that? Have you ever really considered that God's not asking you, he's telling you to? Have you ever really considered that here is God the Father, the one that the enemy is trying to get us so petrified of, the one that the enemy is trying to get us so convinced that he's so other holy, so other out there that we cannot even be in his presence because we're too sinful, that Father? Have you ever considered that the Bible is saying for you and me, as his children, as his son, and as his daughter, that we are to come boldly into his presence? And there find what? Grace and mercy in time of need. Let me ask you a question. When you have some situations going on in life, I'm talking about not just little, I mean, you didn't have a flat tire on the way to work. You got some serious stuff going on. You got some bad, bad, bad deals. I'm not going to try to paint a picture because it might be some of your pictures. But you know what I'm talking about. What do you need right then more than anything? You need God the Father. You need the Father. You need a daddy. You need your daddy. And you need to be able to come boldly to your daddy and receive what? Grace. I told you what grace was this morning. That's God's divine influence on the human heart. You need the influence of a Father. How many of you would love to be able to go into the very throne room of God and say, Daddy, I need to talk to you. I need some wisdom. I need some direction. I need some guidance. I need you to help me. Tell me, what do I need to do? Please influence me. I'm lost. I'm confused. I'm undone. I don't have a clue how to handle this. I need you, Daddy. Please influence me. Please talk to me. How about that? Would you sign up for that? Anybody in the room like that idea? Of being able to come bold. What does boldly look like? Because I tell you, boldly is not what religion has taught us, guys. I know I'm fixing to bump up in some stuff. That's all right. I'm going to go home Friday afternoon. Boldly is not what religion has taught us. Because religion has taught us I've got to come in and I've got to get all humble and I've got to bow my head and close my eyes and I've got to stand in this position. Does this look humble to you? What does this look like? It looks like fear. Now, we can call it reverence, and there is a reverential fear. But guys, let me tell you, and I ain't got time to teach this either, but there's 14 different Hebrew words for fear, and that word fear is not, he's going to whoop me. That word fear is, you are awesome. I come with a reverential awesomeness. This is my daddy. This is my Father. This is the God of all that there is. And he has told me, as his son, as his daughter, to come boldly into the throne room of God. And there he's going to give me his divine influence. He's going to speak to me. He's going to influence me. He's going to give me wisdom. He's going to give me understanding if I'll come boldly. How many of you got kids? Do kids know how to come boldly? Now, I've been over at Keith's house today. And he got a little grand boy. He's bold. Now, guys, I mean this just as I cannot stress how much I mean this. We need to take a lesson from these kids. Because this is how our Father desires that we interact with him. Now, I know we're bumping into all kind of crap right now. Can I say crap in church? I just did. There's all kind of religious crap. There's all kind of other crap that says you can't do that. I can't do that because I'm too unclean. I'm too dirty. I'm just a worm. What am I? Shut up, devil. You have got to let God be God. You've got to let his word be true. And every man, every devil, a liar. He says, for you, his son, you, his daughter, to come boldly into his throne room. Can you try it? Can you try? Can you try just to maybe inch in there? Go into the throne room. Call out to your father in boldness. Say, Daddy, I need you. I need some help. I got all kind of scriptures. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Cometh down from who? The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm going to mess with you some more. Can I mess with you? How many of you, when you need something, you go talk to Jesus about it? You ain't got to raise your hand. It's all right. I mean, you know, we do. We do. Why? Well, I mean, I'm just being honest. Why? Have you ever really thought about it? Why is it that I'm talking to Jesus about this? When the Bible says it's the Father. The Father who's sitting on the throne. The Father told me to come boldly. It's the Father. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. What did Jesus say? John 16:23-27. I ain't got time to read it all. I'll just read a little bit. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Go back and read that chapter 16, 14 through 17. Read it all. That's your homework. John 14 through 17. But in 16, he's saying, in that day, what day? The day he goes back to be with the Father. The day he establishes all that he came to establish and gets us in that relationship, flowing and working right. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. That messed with me. Because let's just be honest. Me and Jesus talk about a lot of stuff. I need this, Jesus. I need this. Jesus, take the wheel, right? I mean, just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm not against Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus is showing us a higher order of things. He's showing us that he came to put us in relationship with the Father. He came so that you and I can have access to the very throne room of God, that we can come boldly into his presence, that we understand when we are in need, who do we go to? Daddy. Who do we go to? Daddy. I know this is different, because even in our homes, we were scared to go to Daddy. In our homes, we were afraid of Daddy. So what we go to Mama. But come on, how many of you went to Mama instead of Daddy? So Mama could talk to Daddy for you. Can I say this is what Jesus is saying? Don't talk to me. No, you talk to your Daddy yourself. That's what a mama should have said. But she didn't. She got into codependency. We'll talk about that later. Jesus is not going to be in codependency with you. He's not. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to become a son. He wants you to have a relationship with your Father yourself. Are you with me? Guys, this is the greatest commandment. We don't see this when we see the greatest commandment, but this is it. This is the greatest commandment. Jesus said this is the most important thing, that you have relationship with the Godhead, that you come through Jesus to the Father. I got a little more. I got more. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Flip over to Galatians, you can find it again. What does Abba mean? Daddy, Papa. I got to tell you, the first time I heard this teaching like this, it just ticked me off. Some of you in this room right now may be just stirred up on the inside, man, this ain't right. How dare you talk about God like that? How dare you be so flippant? How dare you be so relational and personal with God the Father? He's holy. Sure he is. He's absolutely holy. And he's your daddy. That's good news. It's not good news that I've got a holy daddy that I can only come into his presence once a year. And only we still act like we're under the Old Testament, guys. We're still living like we're under the Old Testament relationship with God. We're still living like there's only one man who can enter once a year, when the Bible says the veil has been torn. The entrance into the very most holy place is wide open for you. It's wide open for me. That is the throne room. That is the place where I am to now come boldly. I don't have to go in fear. I don't have to go in with a rope tied around my leg in case he strikes me down dead. No, I'm his son. You're his daughter. Run into his presence. Run into your Father and receive the grace that he has available for you. Is it any wonder maybe why we're not receiving from heaven when we're asking Jesus instead of the Father? When Jesus said, don't ask me, ask the Father. He's just waiting. He's waiting on you to begin to pursue that relationship. He wants to be your daddy. Y'all with me? Anybody alive in here tonight? Now, I got to tell you, when I first heard this, I didn't like it. Now, I haven't taught fully, so I got to get into something that I hadn't taught you yet. But you will understand more fully once we get through it that a lot of this mess that goes on in our head is the enemy's the source of it, not you. So when I heard this, what happened for me was my earthly father, who was dead and gone at the time, but my earthly father and the breakdown in our relationship came to the forefront. Because I got to tell you what I did. The night I heard this teaching, I went home. And I laid in my bed. And with as much honesty as I could muster, I cried out to Father God. And I said, "You, there's just no secret. You know good and well we ain't got no relationship. Me and Jesus are buddies, but I don't know about you." Now, I see it. There it is in Scripture, Romans 8:15. It's clearly there that you want to be Abba. You want to be Daddy. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. I heard all that when I was listening to this ministry. That everybody's talking about Daddy and Papa and all these very ooey, gooey, mushy names for God. It just stirred up stuff within me. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to call you Daddy. I'm going to do it. I'm going to call you. I'm going to say Daddy to you. I could not do it. There was such a brokenness and so much damage within me because of the relationship with my daddy that I could not say the word daddy to him. But I had learned enough that this was the enemy. This was him. What I was feeling, he was the source of it, and he was trying to prevent me from coming into relationship with my father. This was something that my father had for me, and I could feel the battle. So I purposed in my heart that I was going to press through. I don't know how long it took. I can't tell you. I wish I had a video camera of that night. I'd love to go back and look at it. But just in the tossing and turning of that night, eventually I was able to get out the words daddy towards God. And when I did, it wasn't like this dam burst, and all of a sudden I had this well of emotion. That's not what happened for me. But what did happen is I felt something wet run down the side of my face. Guys, prior to this point, I had not shed a tear in 20 years. I watched my father draw his last breath. He died of cancer. Cancer drew him up to nothing. I watched him draw his last breath, and I never shed a tear. Yet I would have said I'd forgiven the man. But that night, as I pushed through and I began a conversation with him as daddy, something within me cracked. And I began to have emotion that I had not had. And what happened as I began just to engage in conversation, and I said this, Father, if you're going to be daddy, then that means you're going to, and I just started talking to him about the things that my father didn't do. And I started talking to him about the things that my father did do that he should not have done. And said, if you're going to be a daddy to me, then that means that you're going to be there for me when I need you. And it's like I could hear within my spirit just the validation. Yeah, that's right. And if you're going to be my daddy, that means you're not going to get angry at me when I blow it. That's right. And guys, I just started working through the issues that I had with my earthly father. And I began to forgive my earthly father. I have these memories come as I was engaging in this conversation of times when my father would blow it and throw hammers at me. And I would remember, and I'd work through the thoughts and the feelings that came, and I'd forgive and I'd release. And I'd say, if you're going to be daddy, then you're not going to be that. And I had this dialogue going. I can't even explain it. I don't know if I'd ever really talked to God before. But it was like all of a sudden I began to have that divine influence. He really did give me influence. And he guided me and he led me through this thing. And guys, that night began for me a relationship with my father in heaven, who is now my daddy. I'm not just calling him daddy because the Bible says so. He is my daddy. And I got to tell you, Jesus said it. This is the greatest commandment. Guys, if you want to have abundance in your life, you're going to have to develop a relationship with your Father God. You're going to have to learn how to come boldly into his throne. You're going to have to come to him and begin to see him as daddy. If you've had breaches with your earthly fathers, you're going to have to work through those. You know, three times the voice of God, the Father, was recorded in Scripture. Two of those times, you know what he said? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would have liked to have your father come stand before you and look you in the eye, say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? What would you have given for that? What would you have given to have had that moment with your father, earthly father, where he would just look at you and say, hey, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're a good son. You're a good daughter. Many of us would have given anything. We'd give anything to have that moment. But we didn't get it. My daddy's dead and gone. I'll never have that moment. This side of eternity. I'll have it one day. I'll get it there. But you know what we can do? We can allow another man to stand and say those words. Now, I don't know exactly how I want to do this, Brother Keith. I wasn't sure I was going to do this. But I think here's what I want to do. I want to corporately stand in on behalf of your Father. Can I do that? Not that I'm your Father, I'm not. But I want you to hear some words for your heart. So corporately, I want to stand in on behalf of a father maybe who did not, could not. Maybe he would not. Maybe he just didn't know how to tell you, to show you that he loved you, to really represent the heart of Father God correctly. On behalf of that father, I want to stand in. And I want to say to you, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the hardness. I'm sorry for the silence. I'm sorry for all the junk that would have wounded you, confused you, that would have left you stranded on the inside when you needed that daddy so much. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to release you today from the fear, from the confusion, from the woundedness, from the broken heart that is a result of that. And I want you to hear these words. I want you to hear today from me, I love you. I love you. I am so proud of you. I'm glad you were born. I'm glad God gave you to me. I'm glad you were born. You are a good son. You are a good daughter. Guys, we need these words. And I want to make this offer to you. Because some of you may need more than this corporate ministry time. I'm available till midnight or later. I'm here till whenever I go to bed. If you need me to stand in and say those words to you, let me know after service. Just come up and I'll be glad to minister to you at that level personally in one-on-one. But guys, we've got to begin to pursue a relationship with our Father. And many times the breakdown in relationship to our Heavenly Father comes out of the failure of an earthly father to demonstrate correctly. Now, I'm not doing this to put any fathers in the room, you know, in a bad position. That's not my point. But there may be some fathers in the room who need to go back to their kids and say, hey, I've not done this thing correctly, and I'm sorry. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you were born. You're awesome. You know, you may need to do that. And I'd release you to do that if it would be in your heart to do so. Because I promise you, that's going to help your relationship with your son and with your daughter. That's going to help your relationship with yourself. And that's going to help your relationship with your Heavenly Father when we begin to take responsibility for stuff in our own life. I had to do this. I had to go back to my kids. I've had to go back numerous times. I go back multiple times. I mean, can I say this? I know my time's running down, but in this concept of being a father, I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame and a lot of condemnation because I was not a good father. I wasn't. And I'd blow it many times. And I'd always try to go back and repair it and repent to my kids and tell them I'm sorry for what I said, what I did. And I just struggled with not really being able to do it correctly. And I heard this one day in my spirit. And it helped me. So maybe it'll help you. I heard God say, I don't need you to be a perfect father. You can't be. But I need you to pattern perfectly how to fail and correct yourself. Does that make sense? My kids need to see me fail because they're going to fail. My kids need to see me fail, but they also need to see me take responsibility for it and correct it after the fact. They need to see me take responsibility and correct my issues when I have issues with my wife. They need to see it. If they saw the fuss, they need to see the fix. If my kids saw and was the, you know, if I unloaded on them, they need to see me take responsibility. And I can do that. I can be perfect in that. Can I share? This isn't a Mitch story, but I just feel like I need to share another story. Because one night I blew it. I blew it. My kids, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't get in bed, and I just blew my top. You know, I mean, I didn't cuss. I didn't throw any GDs and F-bombs. But you know, it was get your butt in the bed, you know, and just got a little over the top. Had them all crying, but it was in bed. And I went back, and I laid down in my bed, and my wife was laying there next to me, press her precious heart. And she said, how are you feeling right now? Feel like crap. How you think they're feeling? Worse. That's all she said. But I got the point. And I'd given her permission to do this. She wouldn't be in bossy. So I got up and I went back in there. And again, I took responsibility. I repented. I'm sorry. Loved on them, kissed them, put them back to bed. And I came back and I laid down in that bed. And my wife reached over and she grabbed my hand. And with tears rolling down her face, her voice trembling, she said, thank you. I cannot imagine my father or your father ever doing that. And that broke me that night. Guys, I got to tell you, it's not easy to do. It's not easy. There's a battle. We're going to talk about the enemy tomorrow night. There is a struggle that goes on with inside of us to keep us from relationship with the Father through Jesus. There's a struggle that goes on with inside of us to have a proper understanding of who we are and to love and appreciate ourselves correctly. And there is an evermore battle that goes on as we begin to try to take responsibility and have proper relationship with those around us. He's real. And he's active. But you know what? Your Heavenly Father is real. And he's active. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have access to God. God the Father. We have been told to come boldly into his very throne room and receive the grace, the divine influence on the human heart that we need. So in that moment, when I got to go back in that room and fix the mess that I made, I need my Father. I need his influence. I need, because I have to humble myself. You know how humbling it is to go look an 8-year-old in the eye and say, Daddy blew it, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? But it's good for you. I've learned it, guys. It's good for us. Now, I'm hitting on the men pretty hard tonight. But, guys, it starts with us. We set the mood in our home. We set the tenor in our home. Through us comes heaven or hell. Through us, the home is established in peace or in disorder, in love or in chaos. But it comes through our Father. Does that make sense? Is it clicking for you tonight? I hope it's as simple as I can make it. If you want to have peace in your home, you've got to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Where's peace come from? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Guys, it's all about relationship. It really is. Now, I hadn't told you you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to... That's not what this is about. Sure, reading your Bible helps because that's what the Word of God is, and it helps me understand who he is. But this is about relationship. I thought of it this way, and I'm almost done, I promise. My wife has written me a bunch of letters through the years. What if every night I sit down and read through her letters in the living room? Just read her letters every night, but I never talked to her. What kind of relationship would we have? And I feel like so often that's what I've done in the past. I was just reading letters. But I have the author of the letter. And he's asking me to come boldly. He's asking me to come into his very presence. Yes, read his letters. Absolutely. That's the mind of God. That's how he thinks. But don't stop there. Enter into relationship. Pursue it. It's a struggle. Yeah. Doesn't it make sense? It's a struggle. I mean, there's an enemy. He doesn't want you to have this. He doesn't want you to know your Father. He doesn't want you to know who you are and your identity. He doesn't want you to be in right relationship with people around you and be a gift and a blessing to them. He's going to do everything he can to stop it. So what? Are you going to let him? It's your choice, isn't it? It's up to you. So, Father, I thank you for our time tonight. And I have a lot more I could have said, but I hope I said what I needed to say. So, Father, I ask you, by your Spirit, to draw your sons and daughters. Without your Spirit here tonight, Father, it's just talk. All this is just words. Father, I pray that you'd bear witness by your Spirit. That those in this room who have ears to hear, Father, they hear. And that by your Spirit, Father, you speak loudly. That you draw those hearts to you. Father, my prayer tonight, as these go home, as they lay their head in their pillow tonight, that they have a conversation with you like they've never had before. That they begin to enter into a dialogue and an ongoing relational conversation with you, Father God, Daddy. I pray for healing. I pray for healing of hurts and wounds that the enemy has used far too long to keep them separated from you. I pray for clarity of the understanding of the battle. That, Father, they'd be able to recognize the enemy at work trying to prevent intimacy in relationship with you. And how they see themselves and how they interact with others. Father, we need your wisdom. We need you tonight. I'm coming boldly, Daddy. You told me to. Here I am. We're in the throne room and we're asking, Father, for grace. We're asking you to give grace to everyone in this room. I'm asking you, Father, to speak to hearts. By your Spirit, show up and work in a way that only you can. Heal our broken hearts. Restore us, Father. I'm tired of seeing your people in the prison house. I'm tired of seeing your people in bondage. Father, bring us freedom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Keith. Homework, tomorrow night we're going to look at the enemy. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 6 if you have time. We're going to zero in on Ephesians 6:12 and a lot of other things tomorrow, but I really want you to begin to see how your battle's not with yourself. It's not with flesh and blood. We'll talk about that tomorrow night.
Christy, come and play us a verse of amazing grace. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. On July the 23rd, 1993, most of you have heard my testimony, so I'm not going to share it all, but there's something that changed that night in my relationship with my daddy that I'd never had before. I grew up in a home. My dad never drank, never cussed, never smoked. He had Navy buddies that testified the way he lived his life. I did everything that my daddy didn't do. And so for the most part of my teenage life and my young adult life, I just knew my dad was always ashamed of me. He was angry with me a lot. We couldn't get along. We tried to work together. We had no relationship. Now, I loved him. He loved me. Wasn't any doubt about that. But the feeling wasn't there. And I remember telling my mom one day that I felt like I hated him. But that night, it was the most humiliating night of my life because my children saw me get arrested and handcuffed and hauled away. We grew up in a small town, so I knew word was already everywhere. And I felt like I owed it to my mom and dad to go to their home and just to say I'm ashamed, you know, and I'm sorry, because God broke me in the backseat of that patrol car. I was a broken man. And I kind of anticipated my dad just flying off the handle, you know. I kind of anticipated my dad saying, "You have shamed me for the last time." That's what I thought, and that's what I deserved, and I kind of went there looking for that. But I'll never forget when I just said, "Daddy, I'm so sorry." He got up from his chair, and he came to me, and he just wrapped me up. And for a long time, he didn't even speak. He just wrapped me up, and he just hugged me. And this passage of Scripture came to my mind. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And to me, there was not a stronger man on earth than my daddy. That's a mighty hand. I mean, I felt comfort under my daddy's hand many times as a child. But when he wrapped me up in his arms, I felt those mighty arms wrap around me. And he just said, "Son, I love you, and I have never wanted anything but the very best for you. And nothing has changed." That next verse says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Something clicked that night, and my relationship with my daddy changed. And he got to be the kind of man I wanted to hang around. I wanted to call. I wanted to talk to. I wanted his advice. It didn't make me mad when he gave me advice. And I think because of what happened that night, my relationship with my father in heaven also changed. And I know now as a daddy, and having grown as a daddy, there's nothing that I want more than for my kids to call me when they need me. I don't care why they need me or when they need me. There ain't anything I want more for my kids just to feel comfortable coming to me saying, "Can we talk? Can we pray? Can you advise me? Can you help me?" That's what I want, and that's what my Heavenly Father wants for us. If you need to come tonight and pray, just come to your Father. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first received. The Lord has promised. The Lord has promised good. Word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, I have already come. 'Tis grace that shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence in our midst tonight. Thank you for the work that you've already begun to do in our heart. I pray you continue to work this week, Lord. Help us to, tomorrow night, help us to learn to recognize the enemy. And help us to learn to do battle with him. I pray that you'd go with us as we leave. And Father, help us tonight when we lay down, just spend some good quality time with you. And Lord, make your presence known, I pray, in all of our homes and all of our hearts. And we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.